WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The music for the film was basically, the concept of the music was Wagnerian because that's what DeMille wanted. When I say Wagnerian, DeMille's concept of the way music should work in a film was that each character should have a theme. And when the character is on the screen, that is what you use, their theme, every single time. If there are two characters on the screen, then you would then find some clever way of incorporating both of the themes. In that sense, it's very, well, that's what I mean by a Wagnerian concept.
Do you feel that eventually the religious epics ended up with a set of musical cliches?
Well, I could answer that in one word, yes. Well, necessarily so. I mean, you know, I tell you who tried to break that, as a matter of fact, was once again Marty Scorsese and The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, sure.
In which he used Peter Gabriel doing a lot of electronic music. I think, you know, it was very interesting about that. When we finished The Ten Commandments, the music of The Ten Commandments, and I had gotten to the point at that time when I could address Mr. DeMille without saying, "Mr. DeMille, sir," and all that sort of thing. And I said to him, "Wouldn't you like to remake the picture about Christ?" He'd made a picture about Christ, Sign of the Cross, at the same sort of in the same period when he made the first Ten Commandments. And DeMille said to me, he was a very sort of knowledgeable person about the world and the body politic, so to speak. And DeMille said, "You know, I don't think you can make that kind of picture anymore." In the atmosphere which exists in the world today. Because, you see, I think one of the problems is that that kind of picture is much easier to deal with in terms of the sensibilities and sensitivities of the public by sticking with the cliches, because which have grown up in the last 100 years, what we consider churchy music, for instance. Because I think if you don't do that, you then run the risk of somebody feeling that you're being sacrilegious. And DeMille sensed this, you know, that it would be very difficult to make that kind of a picture in this day and age. And I think, indeed, it is.
Let's listen to some of the music you wrote for the Exodus scene for The Ten Commandments. And
I can tell you a funny story about that after you listen to it.
Oh, swell, okay. And I want to point out something obvious here, which is that it's the beginning starts off as if a shofar is blowing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty obvious. Here we go. This is
that's a funny story, too.
Okay. Well, we'll hear the stories after we hear the music. Okay. Music from the Exodus scene of the Ten Commandments, composed by my guest, Elmer Bernstein. Music from The Ten Commandments, composed by my guest, Elmer Bernstein. Okay, the funny stories.
Well, the first place, you know, when we realized that a shofar was going to be seen on the screen, we had to find somebody to play the shofar. Now, for those who don't know, the shofar is a very ancient instrument made out of a ram's horn. And it sounds very much like not very much, but something like a French horn, a brassy kind of sound. Anyway, where do you find people who play the shofar? Well, who plays shofars, of course, rabbis, because it's still used in Jewish ceremonies. Well, one day, DeMille got we must have had, oh, I guess 20 or 30 rabbis on the on the scoring stage. And because we wanted to get different kinds of perspectives on the sound, we had them all over the scoring stage playing these shofars. But the funny part was it was on a Friday, and we were getting dangerously close to twilight time, and we had to stop suddenly because, of course, all the rabbis have to stop working by sundown on Friday. So that was the shofar story. The story about the whole Exodus music is originally, I mean, in the Exodus, there were about 8,000 people in that scene. I don't know how many animals, there were about 8,000 people. And they move quite slowly, necessarily, as 8,000 people would, carrying their belongings with them. So I wrote a sort of very slow, anthem-like processional. DeMille heard it, and he hated it. And I said, well, what was wrong with that? I mean, it looks like the picture to me. He says, that's the trouble. It looks like the picture. And the picture is too slow. He said, now I have to tell you that these 8,000 Hebrews in this scene were being played by 8,000 members of the Egyptian army, which is already pretty funny. And DeMille said, no, I want something with spirit. He said, something like Onward Christian Soldiers. And so finally we have that is... accounts for the way the Exodus sounds now, but it always seemed funny to me because it was terrifically ecumenical because eventually what you have is 8,000 Egyptians playing Hebrews marching off to music like Onward Christian Soldiers.
Elmer Bernstein wrote the score for the 1956 epic The Ten Commandments. The new animated film The Prince of Egypt cost $70 million, according to the DreamWorks studio. Martin Scorsese had a $7 million budget when he made his version of a biblical epic, The Last Temptation of Christ. Willem Dafoe played Christ, Harvey Keitel was Judas. When Scorsese spoke at New York University in 1993, he described the frustrations of filming an epic when your budget is relatively small and you're shooting on location in North Africa.
I'll never forget the surrounding of the temple. I had five guys from Rome, five stuntmen, and they had Roman costumes on, Roman soldier costumes, right? And I had to, there was a trouble in the temple, whatever, and they look up, they hear a sound, they look up and Roman soldiers come up, and then Roman soldiers come up, more Roman soldiers, and more over here. Well, I had five guys. Wow. The trick was, of course, the trick was to learn, again, go back, the whole picture was storyboarded because we had no time for anything. We had no time to breathe to get there. And by the time we got to the location, too, this was out in the desert in places, you know? And so I realized it was the old, you know, I drew the shots, and I figured, okay, I know what I have to do. But when I was doing it, I was just, oh, it was so painful. But I said, all right, this is it. Five of them come up here, flash pan, cut, same five guys. That's it. And then they had to fight the Levite guards. And they became the Levite guards on reverses. I'm not kidding. And I said, I can't believe what we're doing. I said, if I hadn't studied Roger Corman pictures, you would never be able to do this. But I mean, they were the same, the Levite guards. I couldn't believe it. I said, for the reverse, now we got, and they were all yelling in Italian It was the most despairing moment. And I had just read the reviews for Empire of the Sun and The Last Emperor. They sent Time magazine. I said, oh, beautiful. We've got to see the film. But look, they had, oh, look at all the extras he had. Oh, what have I done? I said, maybe I was just too eager to do it. Maybe I should have waited. And Michael Ball, I said, Marty, they're never going to give you that kind of extra for this picture. Let's shoot. Come on, get up. Come on, let's go. And it was hysterical. If you look at the temple scene, every shot, the same guys. Every now and then we change a helmet.
Martin Scorsese recorded in 1993 at New York University. And that ends the biblical epic portion of today's show.